It's pretty profound things here in Job 38. Then Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind. Well, I've been saying that there's a lot of connections between Job and the prophets of the Restoration. And Job's suffering for a specific time was intended to be understood as looking forward to the specific suffering of Israel or Judah for a specific period of time in captivity, and then their captivity would be returned, they would be restored, just as Job was. But they didn't really keep with the program, and they didn't really repent as they should have done, and they didn't learn what Job did. So then the Restoration prophets speak about a whirlwind coming to judge Judah and also to judge her abusers. Isaiah 40, Isaiah 41, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 30, all talks about this whirlwind. And it was out of that experience of condemnation, of divine judgment, that they were supposed to have heard God's voice. And it was actually through the whirlwind in Ezekiel that God's glory in the cherubim was revealed. So here, out of the whirlwind, Yahweh speaks. The thing is, we have all been condemned. If you follow Paul's line of arguing in Romans 1-8, we're all sinners, we're in the dock before God, and in one sense we are condemned, and then we are justified. It is only possible, I think, to really perceive the glory of God and to really hear what he has to say to you and to really perceive his grace if you accept that you deserve condemnation. And if you're not prepared to accept that, well, you won't get it. You will not be able, for example, to sing with real feeling a song or a hymn that talks about the wonder of his grace if you actually think that you didn't really put much of a foot wrong and you never felt the idea that I deserve condemnation. Well, God says to him in verse 2, Job 38, who is this who makes counsel dark by words without knowledge? Septuagint says, who is this that hides counsel from me and confines words in his heart and thinks to conceal them from me? And he admits in Job 42 that this is right, that I have hidden counsel without knowledge. I've darkened God's counsel by my own thoughts and my own words. Well, I think the idea is that God's word was the light, and yet man can darken that light. The NIV in Job 38 verse 2 says that Job had darkened God's word. And, you know, we can do the same. We've got God's word to us in the Bible very clearly, and yet we look at it through the prism and through the distortion of clinging on to our own desperate justification of myself. That, well, any mess-ups that I made, well, it's because of this, it was because of that. And not really feeling what Job was eventually brought to feel and to know, that I have sinned and I deserve condemnation. And so God says in verse 3, brace yourself like a man, because I will question you, and then you answer me. Now, brace yourself like a man is not, I don't think, an appeal to masculinity. In other words, be a man. No, I don't think so. I think it's rather asking Job to realize that he is a man, that he is human, and to not get above himself in thinking that somehow he is superhuman. And this acceptance of our own humanity is, I think, so important, because pride is the killer. Pride is the problem all the way through with all of us, that I am basically a good guy, I've not really put a foot wrong, etc. And so God asks him, verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who determined its measure? If you know, who stretched out the line, the measuring line that would be used by a builder? Who stretched out the measuring line upon it? Well, this idea of laying the foundations is again used about the laying of the foundations for the new restored Zion. You've got it in Isaiah 44, Isaiah 48, and also in Zechariah, where it talks, again, Zechariah 4, Zechariah 8, Zechariah 12, about the laying of the foundations and particularly of the cornerstone. God says, upon what were the foundations of the earth fastened? Job 38, verse 6. Or who laid its cornerstone? In other words, not you. What I did in creation was by pure grace, by my word, and you did not play any role in it. Upon what were its foundations fastened? Well, apparently upon nothing. And so belief in creation is a belief that out of apparently nothing, creation ex nihilo, God created, that matter came into creation, into existence because of divine creation through a word. And so likewise, they were to believe that the cornerstone and the foundations of the new restored Zion were likewise to come about as a result of God's spoken word. That's why it says in Zechariah 4, verse 7, that the cornerstone of the restored Zion would be brought forth with shouts of grace, grace to it. In other words, it was all going to be by his grace. And, you know, Job needed to understand this. And so this really is what faith is about. Believing that, to start with, that God created matter out of nothing, how that may have all been rearranged in various creations is another question, but that ultimately he created, all things were made out of him, and likewise in our own path in faith, that you and I being in the kingdom will be purely by his grace, the establishment, the re-establishment of God's kingdom upon the earth, just like the intended restoration of Zion, which never quite happened, as fully as God intended, is purely by his grace. It is fastened, as it were, upon nothing. This is why Hebrews 11 can say that faith is believing that things which are seen were not made out of things which previously existed. It is seeing with the eye of faith, seeing that which is invisible, as it were, and acting as if we are sure that this will happen. And so there is no, if you like, concrete evidence that these things will happen, apart from the historical hand of God in human life, apart from the actual reality of creation. But again, this all requires us to believe his word, and that is why the Bible is history. Even the account of creation, if you like, is history to start with. And we are to believe that this happened out of nothing, and we do believe that. That ultimately, the ultimate question of origins is that the origins are with God. Now, he goes on and talks about how God limited the sea at creation. Verse 8, who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth from the womb? And the same phrase for shut up is found in Job 1, verse 10. God shut up Job. He limited him in some ways. And the sea was understood as really sort of evil. It was understood as sort of a strange thing where strange monsters lived. And a lot of the people believed in Yam, who was the sort of the evil sea god. And the Babylonian version of Yam was Marduk, which was the god of the nations where Judah were taken into captivity. That's why Mordecai is a form of Marduk, Mardukai, if you like. And yet he says that this sea was limited by God, verse 11. He said to the sea, God said to the sea, here you may come, but no further. Here your proud waves shall be stopped. God marked it out with bounds and set bars and doors upon it. And I think the idea is that likewise there are limits to human suffering. There were limits to Job's suffering. And when that period finished, everything was restored. There were intended to be limits to Judah's suffering. It was intended to be 70 years. They didn't actually want that, and so, unfortunately, it was turned in Daniel 9 not to 70 years, but to 77s. They preferred to stay in Babylon. They didn't want to see the end, as it were, in sight. But God in his purpose has ultimately set limits on evil in human life. The great comfort is 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God will not allow us to be tested more than we're able to bear, but will, with the test, also make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. Just as he has set limits for the sea and has said, "Here you may come, but no further."